Well, we're back, and we're joined by travel journalist Carol Matthews. And Carol's telling us that Florida's oldest theme park, Cypress Gardens, is new again. Good morning, Carol.
Hello, Roy. How are you?
I'm wonderful, and it's always nice to have you here.
Oh, I wish I was there right now. We're having a snowstorm in Nova Scotia.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, but Bob and some of our crew are heading up to Quebec City tomorrow for the Winter Carnival.
Yes.
And I had to beg, borrow, and steal warm clothes. I'm lucky if I own a pair of socks.
Oh my gosh!
But I'm all ready. I got a special bag with all my clothes in it, and if I don't lose it, I've got to make sure I've got half in one bag and half in another, and a couple of things to carry on. So, but a very interesting article. We know, obviously, we're very familiar with Cypress Gardens, at least the old Cypress Gardens. I haven't been to the new one, but we followed all the drama with the hurricanes and all.
Yeah.
Let's take us back there. This we're beginning its 70th anniversary, you say?
That's right. Cypress Gardens was carved out of a cypress swamp in 1936 by Dick and Julie Pope. And it was actually the first theme park in Florida before Disney, before all of those other ones. And it was really, really a special place. A lot of people came to see it, and the Popes were quite an interesting couple.
Well, and of course, it was always known for its beautiful gardens and the water skiing show.
Absolutely. But you know, the water skiing show started almost as an accident.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that, but I wasn't, you know, I wasn't actually sure that was in fact the truth.
Well, what we were told was that during the war there were some armed forces people visiting, having some time off and visiting the garden, and they said, "There's water skiing here. When's the water skiing show?" And Julie, who was the wife of Dick, said, "Oh, well, we can, you know, we'll pull something together." So she had her children and some of their friends put on a show for these servicemen, and it's been running ever since.
And it really became the attraction, or at least not necessarily the attraction, but, I mean, it's what really made Cypress Garden famous.
Well, that's it. It's known around the world for the water skiing show, and, you know, it's really, and they're bringing it back. They're even actually trying something bigger this year. They're going to try the pyramid again, but even larger.
Oh, the world famous pyramid
at the
water ski show. Okay.
That's right. And this summer, the Guinness Book of Records people are going to be there when they attempt this, you know, largest ever. So hopefully they'll have a new record in the books.
And I understand from your article that the Junior Bell program is resuming in March.
That's right. It's coming back in March, and all the little girls that are dying to dress up in those beautiful Southern Belle dresses will have an opportunity to do it again.
That'll be terrific.
Yes. And you know, there's a story about how those dresses came to be, too. And that was that, I guess it was in 1940 that the park experienced its first real freeze, and some of the plants at the entranceway were destroyed. So Julie, Dick's wife, again being quick thinking, had one of the female employees dress up in a fancy dress and stand out in front of the vine and welcome people so warmly that they didn't even notice there was any damage. And once again, it was so popular that they've kept it up.
That's a terrific story. And they refurbished the paddle boat, I understand, the Cypress Bell.
Yes, it's all been redone, and it now provides daily sightseeing around the lake, and as well as nightly dinner cruises, which will be really nice.
Yeah, and you say that's going to start this month, actually, according to your article.
Yes, February. The anniversary kickoff was actually, I think it was the 4th of January, but as the year goes on, they're going to be adding more and more things as part of the celebration.
And as you rightly say in this wonderful article you've written, that the botanical grandeur of the park, of course, is its prime focus.
Well, that's true, and it is beautiful. Even though it's only been a little over a year since those three hurricanes came whipping through and did a lot of damage, they've done a wonderful, you know, refurbishment of it. And one thing, if the listeners want to go to the website, The very first picture on the website shows the upturned roots of cypress trees and what they've done. These were ones that were, you know, taken down in the storm. They cut them off, turned them upside down, and used them like huge plant pots and planted ferns and all kinds of different beautiful plants. And it's just gorgeous.
What is the website?
This is your website I'm talking about.
Oh, on my web. Okay. The photographs in your article. Right, exactly.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and great. And, you know, the interesting part is that... in this, as you say, through this 16 acres, it displays 8,000 different kinds of indigenous and imported flora. And what surprised me is that they're plants from 90 countries around the world.
That's true. And it's because Florida has such a wonderful growing season and temperate climate that it can sustain plants from different places in the world. It has the warmth. It doesn't have the continuous freezing, so many plants can survive, as well as the ones that grow there naturally. So it's really beautiful. The walkways, you can just meander through. It's a botanical garden, so most of the plants and trees have the little tags or little signs that tell you what they are.
So
if you want to grow something in your own garden.
Right. And that... The other thing you point out, that the flowers in the botanical garden are found blooming as Mother Nature intended, which is nice.
That's right. It is beautiful. It looks like you're just sort of walking through a natural area, although the horticulturalists take care to make everything look pristine. It looks extremely natural and very, very beautiful.
Tell us about some of the man-made structures.
Oh, they are really fun. They have, it's called the Topiary Trail, and it's just before you start into the actual botanical gardens. And there are huge growing replicas of swans and ducks.
The peacock and the rabbit and the centipede.
Right, yes, the centipede. The centipede is really cute. And the kids love them. When you see... You can't appreciate the size of them until you see a little child standing beside it, and it's just awesome to them.
Right. Yeah, well, you're standing up next to them, especially kids, they must really be awed by it all.
That's right.
Now, there's another very important message that you get across in your article, and that is that there are fully wheelchair and stroller accessible.
Yes, I was really impressed with this because so many people... You know, either you have babies in strollers and it's so hard to get through gravel walkways, or if you're in a wheelchair, or even if you're an older person and you can't walk for a long distance, they have the little ride-on chairs that you can rent at the entrance, so that you can really enjoy your trip through the gardens. Everything is either paved or it's a wooden boardwalk, so there's no problem getting around.
And you know, that's really important today. It's a wonderful thing that handicapped people can get around, especially in these motorized little battery-operated wheelchairs that they have. It's great to think that these people could never really appreciate any of this not too many years ago.
That's true, and it's such a beautiful garden. It's so tranquil and refreshing and beautiful. It's nice that anyone and everyone can go, and you'll see people there from babes in carriages right up to seniors. I mean, it has something for everybody.
Now, you say there are daily garden tours that are included in the entrance fee.
That's right. And most everything is included in the entrance fee. It's really cool that way. I mean, you have to buy your own food and things. But they run at various times, and it changes. Like, there'll be more of them as the year goes on, you know, and there's more people there. But it's people who, horticulturalists who know what they're talking about, will take you through and answer your questions about the plants. And then later on, they're going to have the actual guided tours by cell phone.
I found that kind of fascinating.
Yeah. So you'll be able to do it on your own, but you'll still have the information that you're looking for.
So you're just going to go up to an area and you press a button, or...
Well, it's you dial a number and it kind of puts you into the program.
Right.
And then as you go along, I think you just enter the numbers of the spot where you're at. They'll have them kind of numbered or whatever, and it will tell you what you see at that spot.
I see. Okay. That's interesting. Although
yeah.
people spend so much time on their cell phones now, I think I'd rather take the live tour.
Yes. Oh, that would be nice.
Tell us about the gazebo, which, as you point out, is also known as the Love Chapel.
Yes. There are so many people that have been married at these gardens. They celebrate over 300 wedding ceremonies each year, and it's been going for 70 years, so you do the math. And they're going to really celebrate it this year by holding, in February, from the 10th to the 14th, a four-day wedding vow renewal festival.
Right.
So that anybody, but especially the people who have been married there in the last 70 years, can come and sort of, you know, relive their special day.
And renew their vows if they like, I guess.
Exactly, right. Yes. And they're also going to have daily receptions and wedding cakes so people can celebrate.
And you say that there's an 80-foot-high bougainvillea to the left of this.
Yes, it is stunning. And actually, it's in bloom now, so it's going to be great for the Wedding Vow Renewal Festival. It'll be there blooming while that is going on.
And you point out that they've named it Bows, B-A-U-S, and Arrows.
Right.
how interesting. Well, let's see. Tell us about, we we're all pretty much familiar with it, but we're happy to hear that it's still there, the famous banyan tree.
I know. That is so impressive. It's really, the canopy of it is the size of a small to medium-sized host. It is really huge, and it's fascinating that the aerial roots grow down from the branches. They grow down and go into the soil, and eventually they form secondary trunks. So it's a bit of a maze walking through the trunk area of the tree.
And it was planted in 1936, you point out.
That's right. Dick Pope planted it himself. And it was just from a little 3-gallon pot. It wasn't a huge tree when it started, and it's done really well.
Well, and of course, we're all familiar with the damage that was done by the hurricane in 2004, and we're so pleased to hear from you that this is all, or pretty much so, restored and up again. You know, they bought the new people bought the park. They were renovating it and revitalizing it, and yeah. then the hurricane came and destroyed it all their
exactly.
work. So, I mean, I'm so glad they just didn't give up, and
right.
because. As you say, it's both old and new, nostalgic, forward-thinking, and well worth a visit.
Yeah.
Carol, thank you very, very much. It's a very interesting article, and those of you who have access to your computer at the moment, you can go to our website, ttrn.com, and Carol's article is there with some beautiful pictures. Carol,
thank you, Roy. It was a pleasure talking to you again.
Always a pleasure speaking with you. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.